From the stuff your mother never told you to the stuff your doctor never learned, On Health is what happens when a midwife plus a Yale-trained MD shares about all things women's health, from periods to menopause, sex to reproductive health politics, motherhood to mental health. Join me for taboo-busting conversations that demystify and destigmatize our bodies, all while bridging the gap between conventional medicine and wellness. Along the way, we'll be exploring the science and wisdom of how our bodies work, what makes us well, what gets in the way, and how we can live our best lives on our terms. When it comes to women's health and well-being, there's nothing we won't talk about. The new medicine for women is here. I'm Dr. Aviva Ram. Welcome to the podcast. Welcome to On Health. We have had quite a time getting onto our episode today. We actually were in a totally different platform. And at some point we're like, this is not working. We switched platforms. We're recording in Zoom. We're settled. We've peed. We're like ready to chat. I am so excited to introduce my guest today. Dr. Eva Zasloff is a board certified family physician who specializes in pediatrics and women's health. And she and I go back. She was actually a year ahead of me in residency. And she was like the other cool hippie girl mom in residency. So we have like a little affinity thing going on here. She's also founded an incredible movement and program and business called Tova Health. And it's an innovative fourth trimester newborn and mom care model. And it's been transforming healthcare in the Boston area since 2016, now serving somewhere around 600 mamas. Eva has a really strong academic background. She has done research at the Karolinska Institute and Boston Children's Hospital. She's got academic publications. She's a consultant to MIT's Media Lab Breast Pump Hackathon. She's contributed to Rakel's Integrative Medicine. She's an alumni of University of Pennsylvania. She's also trained as a doula, and she's an artist. So she is truly a multi-hyphenate, incredible woman. And here today, we're going to talk about mama and baby care and all things postpartum health and what Eva's been doing and what she's been learning. I think it's going to be really inspiring for those of you who are doing doula work, postpartum care work in your communities. And I think it's going to be really insightful and just nourishing for you mamas out there. And not just mamas, but aunties and grandmas and sisters and all the peeps. So Eva, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Aviva. This is so fun. It's such a treat to get to connect. And I'm very inspired with all of the many things that you do and that you are continuing to do. And I just feel like it's very cool for us to know each other and to have time together. So
it really is. Thank you, lovely. So we're going to have the Eva Aviva hour here. Okay. So you called me up on the phone about 8 years ago and you were thinking about doing this biz. I think you were a little nervous about kicking it off and like, was this a great idea? And I'm like, hell to the yeah, this is amazing. And you can do this and you should totally do this. So I'm really curious though, thinking back, we're both trained in family medicine. And for people who don't know what family doctors really do, the answer is basically everything except for major surgery, right? Like we hold down something like 80% of the mental health in this country. We're doing, well, we do full pediatrics, full gynecology. If we're trained in it, like I am, I think you might be full obstetrics. I mean, we're doing the whole thing. And yet we both know that that can be overwhelming. But what was it that got you to niche really far down into this very immediate first few months of postpartum? Was there something that you experienced as a mama? Was it in your medical training?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question and it's a long answer. And I feel like there are so many ways that I can answer it. But I will say that at the time, I was working in primary care. I was working in family medicine primary care. So that means I was taking care of pediatrics and also, you know, families, adults, everyone. But somehow, I think because of my like always interest in birth and women's health and all of that, somehow I was getting a lot of young families and I was getting a lot of babies into my, you know, practice here in Massachusetts. And I was loving those visits and those families, but I also was finding them incredibly frustrating. They just really didn't make sense, like in so many ways, just the whole thing, like the, that, those first few visits where I was so excited to meet the family and check in with the mom and talk to the baby. And I mean, talk about the baby.
We talked to the babies too.
Yeah, we couldn't, they didn't talk that much back. But no, it was just like such a profound thing to get to be a doctor for that moment in a family's life. But it was also, it just felt so wrong the way we were doing it on so many levels in so many ways. It just felt really wrong. So it was this combination of being.
What were some of the things?
I mean, we would have, you know, how it is. Like you have like 20 minutes, you know, in a doctor's office to see a newborn baby, which is crazy. And they're waiting in the waiting room, you know, with people that maybe have the flu, you know, and maybe I've just seen somebody with like a really just, you know, crazy rash, you know. And then I'm like running into this 20 minute or something like that visit, you know, with this 3-day old baby. And I'm, you know, asking all the questions about how the baby's doing. And meanwhile, the mom is there. I'm not really asking her, you know, I'm not being paid to talk about what's going on with her. But meanwhile, what's going on with her is just as important as what's going on with the baby. And they're so interconnected. So I'm either like cutting the whole, you know, sort of healing process short, or I'm like messing up my whole schedule because I'm spending way longer than I'm supposed to. But it just felt really like discombobulated, you know, and then it was even worse. It was like the families that were having trouble, you know, which is a lot of families at the beginning when you're trying to figure out breastfeeding or is the baby growing. And those are the families that you kind of have to like really check in with a bunch, you know. So it would be this funny thing where, you know, I would be finishing our visit. And I'd like, I'm sorry, but I think you're going to have to come back again, like tomorrow or the next day. And I just felt like, oh, I don't want to make you do this. Like you're the one, you really need to just be home and like rest and recover and have your baby on your body. And like, you know, but then like they'd come and then a medical assistant would go and weigh them. And it just felt like, why? Well, this is not like efficient. Effective.
It's not holistic.
Yeah. It's like, it's actually like harmful in a way, or just not healthful.
Yeah.
You know, in a moment that really, really, really requires a lot.
I felt like it could be harmful in the sense that in that, so, you know, if you know me and I had been practicing as a home birth midwife for 20 plus years before I was in my family medicine residency and then family medicine practice. And it was so disconcerting because as a home birth midwife, I would go to mom and baby on day one, then again on day three, then again on day seven, then again on day 10, then it'd come to me in 2 weeks postpartum. And it was completely integrated, right? Like how the mom was doing was everything to how the baby was doing. And, you know, we know that moms, I mean, as family docs, we can do the maternal health and the children's health, but a lot of times the moms weren't getting a visit until 6-8 weeks postpartum. And the visits weren't enough time to really dig in with mom on her mood. A little bit of that's more integrated now with alleged or like supposed to be postpartum screening for mom at pediatric visits, but it's not really happening. And then it would get so fixated. Like I felt like the medical model is so fixated on baby's weight.
Yes.
And that became so harmful to moms, especially breastfeeding moms.
I mean, I feel like it is a good measurement, you know, and you sort of, it gets a little confusing. Like, is there enough milk? Is the baby being fed? Like you do have to sort it out, but it just feels like the way that we've been doing it is off. It's like a really bad design.
It is a bad design. Okay. You were doing this and then something happened. Something clicked in your creative artist doctor brain that said, I think there's another way. And it's really out of the box, like literally out of the box, basically out of the office box. What was it?
Yeah. Well, I think it was that. And also just, you know, Aviva, like the training, you know, to go into medicine is quite long. It's a big deal. And I sort of felt like I spent a decade of my life, so much money, so much thought, you know, to become a person that was going to do good in the world, you know? And then I was doing this practice, like I was doing a primary care practice, and I know I was doing good in the world, but it just felt like there's much more good that I can do than what I'm doing here. It just felt like I'm not using the parts of me, like I'm not using me to add goodness here, you know, like I'm not using very much of it is how it felt. And that just felt like kind of like, shit, like, did I make a mistake? Like, am I wasting away in this doctor's office? Something just wasn't like working in that way.
For you either.
Yeah, I just felt like I am a creative person. I am an artist. I am a feminist. I am somebody who loves like women's health. It's just like, I think it all just kind of plopped itself together, you know, in this like sculptural, mushy idea at one point, probably like just a few weeks before we spoke, when I was just kind of like, I can't not do this. Like it sort of showed up and it was like, okay, like let's figure this out.
So how did the idea for Tova get born? And tell everyone what Tova is. How did the idea start to crystallize for you and turn into what it has become?
So the idea of this practice is that we should be caring for both the newborn baby and checking in on the postpartum person together in their homes. And that felt like a really simple idea. And I also felt like there is nothing concierge about this either. You know, like there are doctor codes for home visits, because this is a very, very old-fashioned idea to go and take care of a family in their home.
And it's what midwives have been doing forever, right? Mommy care.
For sure. And what doctors have been doing.
Yes. Did you experience that with your babies? Did you have that more integrated? Because did you have a home birth?
I did. So I have three children, and they were all really different birth experiences. And I'm not sure how much I want to like go down telling them each story because they're so full. But I will say that they were all really different and they all taught me big lessons. You know, I think the first had a very, very, very long, hard labor, and then a long, hard sort of figuring out breastfeeding, postpartum stuff. And then my second, and that was birth center hospital delivery. And then my second was born actually in Sweden with midwives in a birth center that was part of the public hospital. So it was a floor in the public hospital in Stockholm that was just a birth center. And actually, at the time, I was working with Ulla Waldenström. I was doing research on postpartum satisfaction. And she's the founder of the birth center movement in Sweden. So I spent a year there between medical school and residency, being pregnant, having a baby, and then I came back to the U.S. So I had that experience, which was really unique, really, you know, cool to get to witness hands-on, you know, what it's like to be pregnant and then have a baby in Sweden. And then my third baby, I had a home birth here in Arlington.
And did your experiences postpartum influence the formation of the Tova model at all?
I'm sure that they did, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I've been doing this for 8 years now, and it really does feel like this sculpture where I keep kind of carving out new spots. And the more that I'm focusing on the fourth trimester as its own kind of beautiful moment that really has like the most fascinating biology, right? Like everything is so unique. I'm finding better and better ways to provide really good care, you know, for this unique population.
So tell everyone what you do and how it works.
So I take care of the baby as the baby's pediatrician, as the baby's primary, like main doctor. And I support I'm going to say mother, but you know that I mean birthing person, you know, however that is. And I do all of my visits in the family's home, and I provide the care for the first several weeks of the baby's life. After we're done with our time, I transfer the baby's care over to a regular pediatrician's office. So during the time that I am working with the family, I do all the things. So like if a baby gets sick, we'll schedule a visit. If the baby needs to see a specialist or get a test, we'll order that. So it's really like a full-fledged pediatric care practice. And in addition, I am spending a lot of time with the birthing person, the mother, really kind of going through it all, like, how are you doing? And in fact, so again, it's really home-based. So the visits are in the family's home. And I always start when I arrive, when the visit begins, I always start with asking the mom, you know, how are you doing? Because I think the tendency is to go straight into how the baby is doing and what questions I have about the baby. So I tell everyone, like, from the very beginning, like, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to start with the mom first. And so we do that, you know, we say like, how are you doing? And it's like, it's not something that we ask enough. You know, it's a very profound question to ask somebody. Like I literally like had to just run from a visit, and it was our 587th baby that we've taken care of and the family. And they're just a few days old. They just got home from the hospital after C-section yesterday. And it's like, how are you doing? Like, how can she even, like, it's, there's so much there, you know? I want to hear all about the birth, which I think alone is a really important thing that we don't get to do enough.
I think we underestimate the really deep therapeutic power of telling our birth stories. My home birth midwife, who was my midwife, but also my mentor, she would come back for that first postpartum visit and she'd ask right away, let's talk about your birth. What do you remember? What was really important to you? What really worked for you? Were there any challenges that you need to express? And it was like, I mean, she's been doing this for 45 years as a midwife. My oldest kid is 39 as of yesterday. So it's like, it's so steeped in me, and yet it's so not part of our culture. And now with so many women experiencing birth trauma, like the importance of that truth-telling and that storytelling is so powerful. I heard a quote the other day that said, whether a story has a happy ending depends on where you stop telling it. And I thought that was really powerful, like how if we don't keep telling the story and find the next point of it, it can get really stuck.
I love that. And it's very profound and very true. And it's really a special thing because this is my first interaction. You know, I've spoken on the phone with some family. They've signed up for the program. You know, we have space, blah, blah, blah. But the first like real visit is I'm coming to their home. They've just opened their home up to this brand new baby. And I sit and I listen to their birth story. Like that's how it starts.
What are some of the things you're hearing over and over? Is it just so completely different each time, or there are themes that are coming up that you're hearing?
I think they're all so different. I think it's like amazing to me how it's like a fingerprint. Like every single birth story is different. And every time they tell the story, it's different. But anyway, so they share their birth story, and then I, you know, will say, okay, I'll go over their medical history because I'm like, you know, sort of a doctor-y, you know, like, do you have any allergies? But then it's like, how are your boobs doing? Are your nipples on fire? Right? Like, are you able, like, what's going on? How is the latch?
Yeah.
Like, are you getting any sleep? And then I start talking about sort of the process of engorgement, because I also feel like it's such a weird, again, the design is really weird for this really unique life moment. And so for families that, let's say, are delivering in a hospital or a birth center, you know, that they're being told a lot of things that are true for a woman's body for that day. But the really weird thing is, like, the next day, the body has changed. And then the next day, it changes again. And then the next day, it changes again. So it's like, what I have found that's kind of consistent is actually like these plans that are given to postpartum people that are leaving the hospital on day 3 and their milk hasn't come in yet, which is okay because it doesn't have to come in on, you know, day 2 or day 3. But they're given these plans, you know, to nurse and then to these triple feeding. They're often given a lot of advice, a lot, you know, and everyone is meaning well, and everyone has so many opinions about this time, but they're given so much varied advice and sort of like, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. And someone else comes, this is what you have to do. This is what you have to do. This, you have to record how many pees, how many poops, how many minutes, blah, 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 you know? And I find that one of the best things that I can do when I arrive to a family's house is just say like, we can put all of that over there. Like, how are you doing? Like, is this working? I feel like part of like the best thing that I can do is demedicalize this a bit and sort of bring back some of the power to the mom and to the baby and to the partner and to the family, because I do think that gets, like, each time somebody comes into the postpartum room and says, you really have to write down, you really have to have an app, you have to do this, you have to pump 4 times.
It just creates so much overwhelm and fear. Like, then it makes the whole thing anxiety-based. many years ago, we're talking like 35, 38 years ago, I met a very experienced pediatrician. And he said he did home visits, he did home births. He was talking with another similar family doctor, in Chicago. And they were having this conversation. He was telling me about it, how over their like cumulative at this point, 60, 70 years of practice, they realized that for the most part, if there's a big scary thing happening, mom's going to be aware of it and she's going to tell you, right? Like, so having the basic parameters of what's normal and what's not, I think is reassuring. Like, we want to know as new moms what to look at, but all these like spot measurements of how many pee, how many poops, how many times the baby nurses, should you wake your baby up if your baby's sleeping X, Y, Z hours when you finally got your baby to sleep? It's like, it's so overwhelming, but it's also, it really is disempowering. It takes away the sense that as moms, we know, like we can know this.
And it's a funny time because we have so many apps, you know, we have so many things and a lot of them are like coming from a great place. And I'm not, you know, some of them are great, but it's like, there is, you know, and we love to Google things and to learn things. And there's so many people that have so much to say. And I do feel like something I really hope I can bring, you know, to the family is like sort of shake each other and be like, you actually know what to do. Your body is so smart. Your baby's so body is so smart. Like, so I kind of feel like I'm constantly like sort of moving things out, you know, and it's not to say like there are problems sometimes. And of course, if there's a problem, like, we're going to do what we should do. And we're going to assess it and we're going to evaluate it. And we're going to like measure things and prescribe things. But it's like, for most of the time, I feel like that's my job, is to be like, this is what's normal. How are you? How is your baby? You know, I'll bring my like baby scale, my stethoscope, the basic things. I'll examine the baby, answer questions. I have a baby scale that I leave with the family for the first week or two so that we can sort of monitor things together, which was like such a simple thing, but like sort of revolutionary actually in a way. Again, empowering to a family that can say like, we can do some of this stuff. And then at the end of the visit, if it makes, you know, if they have any questions about breastfeeding, like just, you know, if they're like, I don't know if the latch is right. So then they'll put the baby on the breast and I can say, oh, let's try this. Let's do this. Like basic stuff, you know?
Absolutely. Imagine having access to an ever-expanding library of classes and resources covering everything from prenatal care to nurturing postpartum support to motherhood, all designed to empower you with knowledge and confidence. Now picture yourself in a virtual community of mamas, midwives, doulas, and more that celebrates your journey, offering guidance, support, and exclusive resources to nourish both you and your baby. This is your invitation to join a sisterhood of women embracing informed, empowered pregnancy, birth, and motherhood. The Mama Pathway is not just another childbirth education program. It's a global movement designed to support you through pregnancy, birth, postpartum, and beyond, blending over 40 years of traditional midwifery wisdom and the best of modern maternal health. So whether you're dreaming of becoming a mother, currently navigating pregnancy, or embracing the postpartum period, the Mama Pathway is here to guide you every step of the way. This is Aviva Ram, midwife and MD, inviting you to join me on a transformative path with the Mama Pathway. Dive into supportive classes, guest teachers, connect with our vibrant online community, and find empowerment in weekly support circles and monthly Q&As with me. Let's reclaim the power of our bodies and minds and the beauty of motherhood together. Ready to join me? Head over to avivaram.com/mamapathway and let's get you started. What do you think is some of the power of and the value, other than just like not being exposed to sick people in a doctor's office and the wait, but of actually having these visits happening in your own home?
I mean, selfishly, it's just so much better for me. I love it. And I don't like doctor's offices.
I know. I was talking to someone the other day about a website and they were like saying to use this kind of like templated thing for my courses. And I said, using a templated thing for my courses is sort of like you ask versus more like custom and beautiful is a little like you asking me to provide the kind of medical care I really want to provide in the clinical office of like a conventional healthcare center. It's just,
right.
There's something sterile and yeah, for all of us.
But I think, I think that, you know, there's sort of the like, the maybe more superficial things where I can help them with like the sleep, you know, does this make sense for the baby's, you know, bassinet to be here? You know, I can do very practical things. Mm-hmm. But I think way more than that is kind of coming back to this idea of like, you guys are the bosses here. Like you guys are the, you know, this, I don't know. It's sort of, again, taking away the role of like, I don't know, like coming to the doctor, I'm like, it's sort of, I don't, there's something powerful, I think, about them being the hosts of the visit.
Yes. That's how I always felt with my home births. It's like I was the guest in their house, not the boss of their care.
Exactly.
Really, really profound and deep.
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that you have been experiencing and learning about the needs of moms and babies as this dyad, and maybe even some things that you didn't expect going into doing TOVA?
Well, from the beginning, there's been this question of how can I bring a community together? And that's a very different thing than the home visit part of my practice, right? Because I feel like there's something also very profound about the fourth trimester for the mother, which is that your body has shifted, and all of a sudden you are providing the nourishment for another person. So your body doesn't feel like quite like your body did before. And you're basically 24 hours a day, like giving your body to someone else. But then you're like not really speaking to anyone like in a normal way. So you're kind of like in this twilight zone where you can feel really lonely, but also like you have no time alone. And it's just a really trippy time. Like it's a real twilight zone. It can be a real weird time. Yeah. You know, you're not.
Well, and then your sleep, your wake sleep is disrupted.
Exactly. You're not sleeping. You're up at night. You like have totally different sense of sleep. So I just think that you can start to feel like this is not normal. Like I'm not normal. We're not normal. Like this is really weird. And I do actually think that since the pandemic, like people are even more kind of like in their own like bubble-ish. So
yeah,
it's always, postpartum's always been kind of weird and beautiful, but weird. And then I think maybe we're all still sort of healing around like germs and pandemic and isolation. But it's like extra, it feels like mm-hmm. to me, like we're all, it's so anyway, during the pandemic, I started this like Zoom thing, you know, with the families I was working with. And so now part of my practice is that every week, every Thursday, I have a group visit for the mothers in my practice that all live near each other, but it's on Zoom and it's for an hour. And it's for the first 4 months of the baby's life. And this is a way that we all come together and sort of share how we're feeling and how we're doing. Sometimes people are like complete wrecks. You know, I write down topics that are coming up. You know, we talk together. And people share our births every week. Somebody, you know, will raise their hand if they want to share a birth story again, with the idea of like releasing that to the community. And that's been incredible. So now there are friendships, you know, many, many years in the making already from these groups. But that's something that like I couldn't figure out quite how to make this work, so that like a person that was 5 days postpartum, when they're really, really like in a weird twilight zone, like how to get them in a space with other people that are going through it. So anyway, Zoom is like perfect.
Yeah, we do that with the Mama Pathway too. We started it during COVID and I was amazed. I mean, we'd have people who, first of all, were all over the country and all over the world. And so sometimes you'd have a mom who had a 3-day old baby who was up in the middle of the night, but she's actually in South Africa, so it's daytime and she's so grateful just to be there. It's like dark and quiet. Or we'd have a mama who just like had been coming through pregnancy, and so she knew we were there in support group, and she'd show up with her 1-day old baby. And I was always so happy that mamas felt like they could come to that space, because it is a very mind-altering time. And this was during COVID, right? So like mamas were sequestering by need too. So they were even more isolated. So are you still doing it by Zoom?
I still am. I mean, I have events.
It's convenient, right?
Well, it's not only convenient. It's like I want people that are recovering from a surgery, you know, that are really struggling a lot. A lot of postpartum people like are not mobile yet. And like, it doesn't make sense, you know, to be in a coffee shop. It's just not the moment for that. So it's actually really helpful. But I think that like the one thing that keeps coming back to me as so important is actually about this twilight zone time, like about how sort of strange it is and about how you really are for the most, maybe your whole life, devoting your body and your time and your like sleep and everything to this other person. And it's very intense to do that. And I feel like part of the design problem of postpartum visits for mom is that so often, like the people that really, really, really need support are the people that are really, really struggling with this really challenging time with this purse baby that is fully dependent on them. So it's like this, like, and so there really are in this like sort of unbelievable time where like the last thing that they kind of can or maybe even should do is leave their house for 3 hours and go sit in a doctor's office. Like, you know, so it doesn't work. So it's like, it's such an honor. And it feels so exciting for me to be able to be like, yeah, this isn't like, let's work on this. Let's do this. Let's take care of this. I can prescribe that. Like let's, you know, like, let's figure this out. But I think that like, if I were just doing visits for the mom, like they would cancel, you know, it would be different.
Yes. I mean, when I went and did 5-6 postpartum visits in a mom's house after her baby was born as a home birth midwife, sometimes I would go and I'd help pick things up or I'd do dishes or there were all the other and sundry things that just can help a mom feel heard and seen and supported, or talk to a toddler or help mom figure out how to integrate. One of my favorite things I learned was someone once said to me, with a mom with a new baby who's feeling guilty about the toddler. And so I started doing this at some of my visits would be when the new baby's asleep, pick the toddler up and take the toddler over to the baby's bassinet and say to the baby, "Oh, I can't play with you right now because I'm playing with your brother or sister." And
love it.
Toddler loves it, you know?
Totally.
It's like, it lasted for me. Okay. So like in terms of new moms, right? We have this like incredible epidemic of postpartum depression, postpartum anxiety. And we know that some of that is actually, I mean, the data on this has existed for decades, that we know that a lot of that can be due to lack of postpartum support, lack of connection, isolation, overwhelm, fatigue, all these combined things. How are you finding that, like, are moms talking to you if they are struggling with postpartum symptoms around mental health, that you're catching it earlier, you're able to really support them through it, they're talking about it, you're asking about it? Like, because this has to be filling in a gap that is really a huge gap.
It happens a lot. And there's a lot that I'm able to do right away. And I feel so happy when I'm able to do that.
Yeah. What are some of the needs of the mama that you're finding are fairly universal? So connection, obviously, with other moms, feeling like they're not alone or crazy or that what they're going through is not normal.
Yeah. I think that the thing that there are many things that I feel like I have to say over and over and over and over again. But I think that the one thing that I keep being sort of amazed at myself is that there's really like infinite ways to feed your baby. Infinite. Like there's not one, like no one person can tell you the perfect feeding schedule. There's not one way. There's like a million ways. So I feel like that's a really important thing right now for people to hear. I just think that everyone means well. Like everyone, we're all trying to support a new mother, a new parent, new family, new baby. But I think that we all can be kind of bossy. We can sort of, you know, say, okay, so you're going to, every 2 hours, you're going to, you know, nurse the baby for 20 minutes and then 20 minutes and then you'll do this. And
there's so many rules and that we don't need all those rules.
And I just think even providers that are meaning really well, you know, there's certainly a lot of rules there. And I just feel like I'm doing my job when somebody says, like, you know, the next is this, like, I was thinking about it and actually, like, I'm losing my mind every evening. Like, I'm, the nights are so hard. I'm so tired. My husband is giving the baby one bottle of formula every night so that I can just, like, watch Bridgerton and, like, have a little quiet before our, like, 10 hours of awakeness, you know. And I'm so happy when I, you know, like, I feel like great, like, good for you. Like, that is great, you know?
Yeah, there can be a lot of dogma. I think particularly in the decades where there was so much misinformation about nipple confusion, which we now know really doesn't happen. But I can remember a mom I midwifed, and she was actually in her quite late 30s having her first baby. She had a full career. And so this was really going to be her first time being home full time. And she wanted to be home full time with her baby, or she thought she did. But then when she was, she realized that she needed to get out sometimes, that it wasn't for her to be like 24-hour food bank. And at that time, she had gone to a La Leche League meeting. And, you know, La Leche is amazing and great. And at the time, it was also like, well, she just wanted to be able to give her baby a bottle a couple of nights a week and go out, like go out with a friend, go out with her sister, and just feel like a not mother human to replenish herself a little bit. And they just read her the Riot Act about how it was going to interfere with breastfeeding and nipple confusion. And she felt so overwhelmed and so guilty. And thankfully, I was able to talk her off that ledge and give her the peace that she could do both. But I feel like some of those rules have really set moms up for like a sense of guilt and overwhelm and failure, or like they have to be all to everyone all the time. And then they're just turned inside out.
And I, you know, do what I mean? Like, bring it back to this, like, again, there is something rooted in the design problem of in our society, like physicians, providers in general, you're providing care for one person. But the biology of, you know, the newborn and the mother is two people, and the biology is deeply interconnected. So it's like really weird. It's like it's not how we normally are doctors or, you know, midwives or any nurses or whatever. It's like, you have to sort of rethink how you're sort of trained and taught and what you do. Because every single aspect of what we've been taught, you know, to be providers, it's like you have to kind of shift it a little during this moment, because you have to diagnose from two different people and then you have to treat it into two different people. And I don't think that's really happening. So it's like you go to your pediatrician and they're awesome, but they're like trained to really focus on the baby. And you maybe, you know, and I know that there are amazing providers that are doing this, and we can think outside of the box, but it's really a unique biological moment that doesn't fit in a lot of ways.
It doesn't fit into siloed medicine at all. And that's part of the beauty of being a family doctor, right? You were able to see that because you were inherently, I had so many families where I had midwifed, if you will, or delivered the baby. And now mom and baby were my patient at the same time. So I could see in family medicine how it provided a much more midwifery lens of things in a unique vantage point.
As a women's health practitioner, I know you're passionate about helping your clients and patients heal, but sometimes it feels like traditional medicine just doesn't have all the answers. And you want to do more, but where do you start? Well, integrative and functional medicine offer incredible possibilities, but those can feel really overwhelming to sort through. And what's the truth and what's just marketing when you see information on the internet? And then there's the wellness world, which is equally confusing, often for us and our clients and patients. This is Dr. Aviva Ram, and this is why I created the Women's Integrative and Functional Medicine Certification Program. Bringing you 40 years of my clinical experience and now 7 years of running this program, it's specifically designed for practitioners like you who are ready to deep dive into a trusted evidence-based approach that also helps you create truly personalized protocols with heart. You'll gain the tools and knowledge to confidently address the root causes of your patient's health challenges covering everything from hormonal imbalances to autoimmune conditions to gut health and chronic fatigue. And yes, we talk about menopause. Whether you're a health coach, nutritionist, ND, nurse, MD, or other health professional, if you're looking to deepen your practice with comprehensive and effective care strategies, and you'd love to study with me, I invite you to learn more at avivaram.com/WIMI. That's avivaram.com/WIMI. Hope to see you there.
Okay, so talk about anything that you have learned. I'm curious. I mean, you're working in the greater Boston area. Have you come across any traditional postpartum practices where mom is here from another country or somebody's doing something that's like, oh, okay, that's really nourishing and cool?
Oh my God,
different.
Always. Like, I think that's one of my favorite parts of this practice is that it is like, it's the most fun just culturally and anthropologically. Like, it's so fun. It's like, I sort of feel like I'm traveling the world because, again, just today, you know, there were the grandparents, you know, from India that were here and they, you know, they ask, is it okay, you know, for us to just an hour ago, like, is it okay for us to massage the baby in coconut oil, you know, 4-day-old baby? Like, oh, yes, that's great. And I'm like, actually, tell me what your, you know, the grandma says, because I'm always learning. But it's like, there's so much wisdom there. And it's, I'm continuing to learn. Like, I feel like I will spend the rest of my life learning more recipes and, you know, massage techniques and herbs and different things. I mean, it's just, it's such a rich cultural, culinary, you know, all of this. The best. Yeah.
So Eva, you know, as we're talking about the conventional medical model isn't set up for doctors to jump out of the clinic and do home practices like this, you've really chosen to dedicate your focus to this. There are doulas who can provide some of this kind of support and midwives who can provide some of this support. But it's still different. We know things as physicians that we can do on the ground that midwives and doulas can't always do. It might be a certain diagnosis or prescribing or something. How do you think, or do you think, this model could grow to become more of an integrated norm in maternity and newborn care?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've spent 8 years experimenting, iterating, editing, understanding, you know, this big question within the model of billing and all this stuff. And I feel that that's kind of the next phase, right? Is to say, okay, like, you have this beautiful, big pediatric practice, you know, how can we incorporate some of these things into your practice? Can we have one of your providers get a little more training in, you know, lactation? Can we talk, can I help, you know, sort of rethink how it would look for one of your providers to spend an afternoon doing home visit? You know, like, how, I think the idea of home visits, and I think that the idea of dyad care can be incorporated into almost every different sort of standard practice that we have right now. I mean, midwives have a lot of training in newborn care. They have a lot of training, but, you know.
Oh, there were things I picked up as a midwife. You know, it's interesting that you're saying this too, because actually when I was in our training at Malden, I had an older couple, they were in their 80s, and I was doing home visit.
Yeah, we had to do that.
Them.
Yes.
And so, you know, it was kind of the first throwback to what my midwifery care was like, but it was the other end of life. And it was really interesting because this couple had been married for like 50 something years. And so they were a dyad in their own way too. So just hearing you saying, I'm like, well, this could actually be incorporated at multiple levels of what we're doing in a healthcare system.
Well, it's so interesting that you bring that up, because to me, like, we've watched, I mean, this was not a hospice home visit that you were doing, but I think about hospice care all the time, right? How we did kind of at some point figure out that dying didn't, you know, dying and the step, the time before you're dying can't necessarily fit in our standard design model of hospital and doctor visits. And it's like, I kind of want to like keep that conversation going for, you know, whether you're born at home or born in the hospital, it's like, okay, but then what? Like, let's talk about those next few weeks. And I feel like that would be a dream come true if, like, together with other providers, with other physicians, with other midwives, doulas, lactation consultants, nurses, nurse practitioners, like, we have so many people that are, like, so wanting to work on this together right now. Like, I think we have an awareness that things aren't good. And I think there's a creativity right now even in the medical field because of Zoom and all these like alternative ways that we can go about it. I think we're actually at a point where we can stop for a moment and be like, this isn't working. Let's think about how the hospice model is now standard. How can we incorporate home visits, normal, you know, healthy newborn pediatric home visits with standard wellness, you know, postpartum checks, blood pressure, you know, like basic stuff.
Yeah, and midwives and doulas can be part of that to also make it completely economical.
The best, to me, the dream would be, let's all come together and let's learn more about each other's, you know, abilities, like what we're comfortable, what we're not. And like, let's like figure this out, you know, because I do think that before home hospice care was a thing, like people would have said, like, that's crazy. Like, no way, that's not, like, that's alternative. Like, and now it's standard.
And it demedicalizes the experience of a major life transition while still providing medical support for comfort and ease and all the things when it's needed. And it integrates the family into this life.
And it's acknowledging that there are going to be times in a person's life that just don't necessarily work in a doctor's office or a hospital, right?
Yes.
And that you're going to be actually a better provider if you can go to them.
But I have to tell you that watching you do this model and having the, you know, decades of experience I had doing home birth and postpartum care, and, you know, I wrote one of the first modern postpartum books, right? Natural Health After Birth. It was like, that's from like 2000. Postpartum and fourth, and there's a section called fourth trimester. There's a section called matrescence. Like, this is deeply important to me. And having watched you over the past years build this model, and then not too long ago, one of my patients who is she was coming to me for other things. She had thyroid problems and then issues around getting pregnant. And then I worked with her through her pregnancy, and then she had her baby. It was her third baby. This was her first home birth. And then she needed the baby checked afterward. And she's like, do you mind? And I'm like, are you kidding? And so I went and did some home visits with her and her family after, and it just made me cry. It was like, truly in the past bunch of years has actually been such a return for me that I have been really thinking, how could I build my online work so it's sustainable so that I can affordably do a model like this in my community and probably do it. I would maybe do it for like the first year for like mom care and community groups. So I'm so curious we have mamas listening, families listening, grandmoms listening. And then I have a lot of birth workers in my community. For those who might be interested in creating a model like this in their community, what are some thoughts you have? Like, are you planning on building your model out nationally or encourage other people to figure out how to do their own model? And it sounds like you're billing for insurance. Like, I'm curious about all the granulars that you feel like you can share for those listening who are like, okay, I want to.
So right now I'm lucky. I've had really, really amazing people that I've worked with during this process, you know, over the years. And I have a really amazing director of operations, and just sort of, she's a very smart, big thinker, but also very detail-minded and does a lot of the insurance. I'm like really good at systems, you know? So that's kind of like our next step. I mean, we're thinking about how to expand more, maybe, you know, to underserved neighborhoods in the area. Like, it would be really awesome if we're thinking about maybe getting some funding from, you know, the state so that we can add some providers and go to, you know, different neighborhoods. Cause right now it's like my neighborhood, cause this is where I live, but you know, that would be awesome. So there's that piece that we're really, you know, thinking through, because that's so important. But also we're thinking through, like, how can we share this model in a way that feels really clear and clean and like adaptable to the person that, you know, wants to do this. And so that's like sort of the next phase. So But in general, yeah, we're sort of starting that process. So if there are providers that are saying like, oh my God, I really, really, really have been wanting to do this forever, but I just sort of like freaked out, or I would say go to my website and email us, because we're kind of in that beginning stages of like, it's time to sort of spread the seeds big around the planet to anyone that wants to grow it. Because it's really, really, you know, something wonderful.
Well, speaking of your website, there's another part of you, as if people haven't already picked up that you're a creative here. You have really picked up your passion for painting. Yeah. And you had an art exhibit that you featured that explored the fourth trimester. Tell us about your art and your art exhibit. So
that's one of the coolest things about this moment in my life. One of the coolest of all, I'd say, for me. So I've always been an artist. I mean, I've been an artist before I was anything else. You know, I was like that kid that was like making weird like paper sculptures with like water and like cotton ball. Like, I've always been an artist. You know, I was always an artist. In fact, when I decided to go into med school, my friends were like, what? Like, didn't even make sense. Like, I've always been an artist. And then something happened during the pandemic. You know, things got weird and I ended up randomly finding a old barn just a few blocks from my house that was for rent, and I ended up renting it, and it's now my art studio. And over these last few years, I've been painting. I mean, I paint for a few hours every single day, and it's become a really important part of my life, and it's been cool. Yeah, I have a lot of collaborators and artist friends in the area. And there's something really like special about the artists in the Boston area. There's a lot of like cool feminist work being done, and we're kind of all finding each other. And I was able to have a show with 10 other artists, and Boston Globe came, like it got a lot of press. And a lot of the families that I work with came together. We were celebrating our 500th baby actually in the practice. So it's just this really wild coming together of all these parts that I really love. And I didn't even imagine that they would be able to come together, but it all comes together. Like, my work as an artist is very abstract, and I don't actually think about, you know, what I'm painting, because it's coming from a different part of my brain that isn't thinking in that way. But in the end, like, it's almost always, to me at least, like a birth or a womb or a part of my body or someone else's body.
Something female, like,
it just
feminine.
Is. Yeah. It's just so nuts that I get to sort of bring all these parts, and that they're all coming together so nicely, you know. And I'm so excited about the art because it keeps expanding. I mean, I'm working really big now. Like, it's like it just keeps expanding. Things are expanding right now, it feels like.
And you've got three littles who aren't so little anymore. How are you holding it all down, like, as a mom? How does it all come together?
You know, there were years where it was really hard, right? Like, during my residency, I had two little babies. That was really freaking hard. You know, there were years where my husband was in training. We've juggled so much. But right now, I don't know, like, knock on wood, like, I have healthy kids. My husband is really, really, really supportive. He like is amazing. And we're figuring it out. Like, we have a good balance. Like, again, knock on wood, it's not always that way. But at this moment, I'm finding a life balance that I did not dream that I'd be able to find.
That's aspirational and amazing. All right, I have a question for you before we go. It's a question I love to ask all my guests. If you could tell your younger self one thing, how old would she be and what would you tell her?
So funny. There's a little like story behind it. I just found these old papers that I had written when I was 12. I think it was like, it was for a class assignment. And it was like, what do you want to be when you grow up or something? And I wrote in it when I was 12, I wrote like, how can I decide? There are so many things I love. Like, how could I pick?
I feel that
way.
Yeah,
and I know. And I think I would say to that kid, like, just, that's good. That's awesome. That's only like a wonderful thing to have a lot of things that you love. And like, it doesn't have to all make sense at once. Just like, you know, you'll follow the path that's there, but just know that like there are other chapters where like really cool things are going to happen. And you just, things that you wouldn't even have been able to think of in your own head, you know? So just like when, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. So just like, don't stress about it. Like, it's all going to happen as it wants to, you know, like the things are going to come out when they need to.
Eva, thank you for joining us today. And I mean, you're entrepreneurial, you're mission-driven and service-oriented, you're creative, and you're really bringing it all together and doing it. And that is not only inspiring, but it's inspiring in a way that I feel so many people get stuck, right? And like sometimes people get stuck because of economic reasons. They feel like they can't just take the risk, or they're afraid to try the different thing. And I think both you and I have lived a life where at some point we went into a model. Both of us are not the typical med students, and we did it, and yet we're manifesting it in very different ways than the traditional. But I think you and I are both people who, like, we could have done that even without that piece of it. And so I feel like I've been reading this book or rereading this book called The Heroine's Journey. And it really talks about how so often our path as women is very defined by the patriarchal model, by the structures and confines of the model that exists. And we can often get very stuck in thinking it has to be a certain way. And I love that you have really brought together, yes, you had that conventional training, but what you've really brought together is all of your passions and trust in your passions to go with those, to go with what felt really whole to you as a woman, as a healer, and didn't get stuck in the traditional doctor model doing that. So I really want to just say brava for that. And thank you for sharing that with our community.
Thank you so much. This is really, it's really wonderful. It's really exciting to get to talk with you, because I see a lot of the same things in you. You know, it's fun to have friends that are able to sort of be part of the system and then see what's wrong with the system and ask questions and then keep trying, you know, keep trying new things.
And not even change the system, yeah, but like create like a new one.
Keep doing the things that work and work and change the things that aren't working and keep growing.
Well, thank you for being here with us, lovely. Before we go, just tell everyone the best places to find you, because we have it in the show notes, but people don't always stop what they're doing and go to the show notes. And they're like,
where was she? TovaHealth.com. That's my practice. And that's where you can reach out if you want to just talk about the model, the fourth trimester model, but also if you're pregnant, you want the care and you're in the like Cambridge, Arlington, Massachusetts area. And then I have a website for my art. It's evazasloff.com, but really Instagram is kind of where I'm doing that. And then I have this, we haven't even talked about, but I will say I have Sister's Body with my sisters. And that's kind of like a whole other totally beautiful part of my day-to-day that I get to do with my sisters. So that's sistersbody.com. And maybe that's for another discussion. But yeah, those are the different ways.
So that's shampoo, body products.
Yep, and we donate a bunch to reproductive rights, and we work with my dad.
I read your story at some point. I was like, wait a minute, she's doing this with her sisters, but your dad's a chemist and helped with some of the conceptual formulation work. It's really beautiful,
too.
Eva.
So beautiful.
Well, I will talk with you offline very soon. Everyone, I hope you just feel a little more inspired and supported, and you new mamas out there, you know, just hearing all the things about this sort of altered consciousness and not being alone and reaching out and connecting and building those support networks, even if it's on Zoom, even if it's, you know, come to Mama Pathway, find us, find the doulas and the midwives in your communities who are doing these networking and get-togethers, because they're out there. And there's no one right way. And we're just really glad you're here. So thank you, everyone. And I'll see you next week. Eva's got me down, gonna lift it up. I hope you enjoyed this episode, that it helped you to feel seen and heard, and perhaps that it even brought you some aha moments. Please share the love by sharing this with a friend or someone in your life who could benefit from the kinds of things we talk about in this space. Also, make sure to follow me on Instagram
at dr.avivaram and go to avivaram.com to join the conversation about the show on my blog. While you're there, you can sign up for my free newsletter with tips on taking back your health. Be sure to leave a rating and a review for the podcast and follow the podcast to be notified of new episodes every week. Can't wait to see you next time.